Blog Talk Radio.
Satan Jill Brenneman, this is XBN, Sex Worker Broadcast Network. We are live tonight. If you want to call in, we've got a half-hour show, so you will want to get your calls in early tonight. You can do that at 646-231-36. Once again, that is 646-231-36. We have a very special guest tonight. We have Julene from the rock group The Whores. The Whores have been together since 2004 when Julene and Greg first got together to jam. Julene instantly knew that the music she'd been wanting to make for so long, this was it. Greg liked that. Julene hadn't had a lot of prior experience, and this is in quotes in her bio, that she was malleable on the drums and able to try strange new beats. Welcome, Julene, to XBN.
Thanks for having me on. I wish the other whores were with me as well, but they're here in spirit.
They're here in spirit.
Yeah. The other whores are working.
Well, you know, some whores just have to work, you know.
That's right.
Somebody's got to do it. So how did you come up with the name? Tell the audience the story. How did the name The Whores happen?
Well, my nickname is J-Ho, and that was actually a nickname given to me by a friend of mine at work because of my views on sex work and just because I'm sort of a naughty girl in general. So my nickname is J-Ho, and when I started getting to know Greg and spouting off about sex workers' rights and this and that, and a lot of stuff he hadn't really been exposed to before, one night we had this conversation, and he was trying to figure out, and I told him I was a shameless whore, and then I laughed for about 5 minutes straight, and I think that was the night that he decided that that was going to be our band name. So most people who know me think it might have been my idea, but it was actually Greg's idea. And his poor mother was kind of horrified. She said, "Is it okay with Julene if they call you that?" But it is.
Has his mother tried to talk you into a new name?
No. She pretty much doesn't say much about it. But I think she's supportive. You know, she knows that it makes us happy, and she's fine. But it's kind of funny because a lot of times, you know, we'll be on the bus or on the street, and we'll hear somebody call out, you know, "Hey, whores!" And, you know, it's friends of ours or people who know the band. And so that's kind of fun. We get called out in the street.
Everybody will turn around, and they must think, like, "Oh, my God, I can't believe they just said that."
Yeah, and people love having permission to say the word. Like, they get really excited, especially, I think, to a woman. Like, that's just, you know, something that you're never supposed to say to a woman. It's really considered a taboo word. And so to have full-on permission to say that to me, people just go crazy, and they really have fun with it.
Now you recently added a whore, correct?
Yeah, we have a new whore. He's been with us for about 9 months, maybe almost a year now, and he's great. He's a bass player. And for the first several years that we were together, we just didn't have a bass player at all, and we were pretty happy as a twosome. But then sometimes, you know, threesomes are really great. And this guy, Matt, he's a really good friend of ours. He played with us for a covers gig, and then he just never stopped coming to practice after that and became a full member somewhere along the way. So we're very excited to have him. He's prettier than both of us, so he's a good asset.
So he went from, like, the special guest whore to official whore?
To a full-time whore, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, because I remember that show, Melrose Place, and Heather Locklear was a special guest star for like the whole 10 years or so, whatever the show was on.
I guess she was kind of commitment shy.
She must have been. But so Matt is an official whore now.
Yeah.
He's the whores are a threesome. There's no, not just a couple anymore.
No. And it's actually great. It's been wonderful having him. It's my first experience as a rhythm section. You know, before it was just me. I play drums and Greg plays guitar. And I think we find that it's a lot better with Matt there with the bass. And he really just added something special. And so it's been fantastic having him. We also fight less during band practice because I think we're on good behavior when he's around, or try to be. So it's been awesome.
Now he's also the official recording engineer. Is that correct?
Yeah. Matt is a really talented guy. He's also a classical pianist and composes. He does everything. But he has a recording studio in his apartment, so we've been working on putting a CD together there, and he's kind enough to be both the engineer and the bass player for that. So we're hoping to have a CD out hopefully in July, but perhaps in August.
What's the title going to be? Do you have a title yet?
We're thinking maybe Here Come the Whores, but we're not sure. Another title that we were kicking around was You Think Your Garden's Bunny Proof.
That's a good one.
We have a bunny obsession.
Now, I'm reading in your bio, one of our guests probably about 2 months ago, you're going to perform with tomorrow, the Naked Heroes.
Yeah. We love them. I think of them as a sister band. We play with them as much as possible. I'm actually like a full groupie for the Naked Heroes. I go crazy when they play. They're just crazy. They're amazing. They make me want to take off my clothes and roll on the floor, and they're out of control. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. when I interviewed George back in, I'm thinking March, and he asked me, how did we find the Naked Heroes? And I told him I found them through your MySpace page. And he was like, and you're also performing with another group called Runny?
Well, I don't know where you heard that. I mean, we play with Runny quite a bit. But I wouldn't say we're not like a member of their band. But, yeah, we love Runny, and we play with them a lot. They're,
You know what? I'm getting ahead of I took a stupid pill this morning, and I'm reading ahead in the bio.
I'll have what you're having. we play a lot of gigs with Runny, and I would say that they are my number one favorite punk rock band in the New York region. They are completely unique, and we're like the Mutual Admiration Society. We love them. You probably haven't heard or seen them, I'm assuming, right?
No, I haven't. I'll have that.
They're pretty special. It's they're a duo. They're MCs, and Lemon Cookie, the DJ, has been known to strip down to a rainbow G-string and molest people in the audience. And his co-MC, DJ Phlegm, is kind of the, I don't know, she's like the straight woman in the group, not straight in the literal sense of the word, but, Lemon Cookie goes crazy and you know, DJ Phlegm holds it all together. They are amazing. Yeah, we're going to be playing with them tomorrow night at Don Pedro's, and I'm really excited.
Now for those unaware, where is Don Pedro's?
Don Pedro's is on it's Manhattan Avenue in Williamsburg, by McKibben Street. Actually, don't have the address right in front of me. I probably should, right? It's in Williamsburg.
92 Manhattan Ave.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand correctly, you take the L train to Montrose, the G
That's
to
right.
Broadway, or the M to Lorimer?
Yeah, so it's like really south Williamsburg or southeast Williamsburg. Yeah. Yeah, Ronnie was actually the brilliant people who put together the benefit for Casa Xochí Quetzal back in December. So they deserve all the credit for thinking that. But I'd like to take some of the credit in thinking I put sex work on their brain. But, yeah, it was Runny's idea to do a benefit for Casa X, as we call it.
You know, I'm glad that you brought up the name first, because I was dreading.
Trying to say it?
trying to say it. You know, I can speak Spanish, but I'm thinking that that's Aztec and...
Yeah, it's what is the pre-Spanish. Yeah, exactly. It was a Xochí Quetzal was a goddess, and from what I understand, I'm certainly not an expert. Adolescents would pray to her when they wanted to become sexual with somebody, and she was known as like a goddess of prostitutes.
Wow, she must have gotten prayed to a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to think so. Probably still does.
And so now there is a my understanding is a Casa, again, I'm going to let you pronounce that.
Xochí Quetzal?
Casa Xochí Quetzal.
I'm probably slaughtering it, the name anyway.
Well, who would know the difference, I guess?
Maybe some people who live there might. They might actually. I don't know if the language is still active, but I hope it is.
We'll have to find out. We'll see if we can track that down. You raised $600 for a house, which helps sex workers.
Yeah, we
did. Would you like to take a caller? We have a caller.
Of course.
Caller in 312 area code. Go ahead. You're with Jill Brenneman and Julian from the Horde.
Hi, Jill. It's Kitten Infinite. How are you?
Kitten Infinite.
Hi, Kitten.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm calling, well, for a few things, but first I want Jill to know, you know, on the website, right next to the bio, there's an ad for a weekly subscription to Ann Coulter's newsletter.
No
I think
way.
I think you should know what advertising space XBN is giving next to Swap's radio station.
Oh, if only I could help that. I can't help that. But
Maybe Swap listeners are gonna go for that myself. But
I don't know. She's kind of hot. I mean, I was looking at some of her YouTube videos. I think she has like a natural talent to be a dom. But I mean, that's neither here nor there. But I was actually calling because I'm curious. I'm looking on the internet and I'm wondering where I can get music because I can't find. I heard it was on MySpace, but I'm wondering if you're on iTunes or.
Yeah, we haven't actually gotten up on iTunes yet. We've been trying to finish up our CD. You can find us on MySpace at Hot Godless Whores. That's the name of our profile.
Hot Godless Whores?
Yeah. We
used
to be plain old whores, but then for some reason MySpace shut our profile down. We don't know why.
Yeah, they do that. So do you have music on Hot Godless Whores?
Yeah, we've got
on MySpace.com/... Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Very cool. Yeah, do you talk about sex worker politics in your music, or are you just sort of like advocating as a message?
I talk about that a lot everywhere I go. In the music, the lyrics are great. They're actually posted on one of our blogs, and the lyrics have a bit of a political bent, but they're not that direct or that literal.
You know, I still think it's great. I mean, with a name like The Whores, and it... You know, I've been involved in sex worker activism for a while, and
mm-hmm.
I keep having this thought with all these meetings and conferences and all this stuff going on. that a cultural impact like a band or a roller derby team or even like a softball team that's like, you know, maybe not necessarily sex work identified, but like challenges conceptions around things like even the word whore and things like that, that does like, it does so much, like, because it's like a cultural revolution than a political revolution. And so I think that's awesome. And thank God you can carry the message, because how much would it suck if there was a band like misogynist called the Whores or something like that?
You know, for all I know, perhaps out there somewhere there is, but, you know, we're fighting that. And one of the things I love about being called the Whores is that it totally gets people talking about that stuff and asking questions and why is that your name and, you know, what do you think? And it's almost like a Rorschach test for folks. Like, people have all kinds of reactions to it, you know.
For sure. For sure. Well, it's good that you're schooled enough to handle it. That's cool.
You get schooled along the way. You know, I'd like to say that I'm so cool, it would never bother me how somebody reacted, but honestly, like, sex worker rights and whore pride, frankly, is very important to me personally. So, you know, sometimes if somebody has, like, a really nasty reaction, I got to admit it does get my blood going, but it brings out the fight.
Well, right on. I mean, that's awesome that you're carrying that, and I think that's great. I mean, I hear a little bit of the bands and your influences, and I'm guessing you're punk rock.
Yes, we are.
Oh, hell yeah. I tell you, since I was 13 years old, if it wasn't for Kathleen Anna, I probably would not be a radical sex worker. I might be a sex worker, but I wouldn't be a radical sex worker. And so I'm so glad you're punk rock and not pop.
Oh, my God. No, you know, we really couldn't do that. But next time you're in Brooklyn and we're having a show, you should come up on stage.
Yeah, for sure. And if you think about coming to Chicago, there's plenty of sex workers that would show up.
I love the scene in Chicago. Oh, my God. It's the greatest.
Right on.
And I actually do hope to come to Chicago. Steve Albini is there.
I have no idea, but we can get a bunch of strippers at his house. I'll arrange it. I'll help.
I think he would love that. He was one of the original guys from Big Black. Which was, for sure.
I'm sorry. I acknowledge him as a producer.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Jill knows how to get a hold of me. Come out to Chicago. Thanks for letting me come. I really love the show. So,
I hope to see you in Chicago.
Cool. Right on. We will see you here.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye.
Now, Kitten, one question for you. Any other callers that want to call in that can't afford the long distance, can we have them charge it to your phone number? I'll just give it out. Oh, she hung up on us.
Well, people could probably call in using Skype, which is free, if they have the technology.
They can. They can use Skype. That's actually how I'm getting up there. And you can also go to the XBN website, and someplace you can push a button now. And I haven't really figured out how to make it work, but I have this email from the producers of Blog Talk Radio saying it's possible.
Well, I'm sure somebody will get on it.
Now, you also did a study.
Mm-hmm. Doing
what
a study.
Doing a study.
It's still going, yeah.
What is this study about?
Well, switching gears a little bit, the study is the other part of my life. The whores are what I do in my personal time. And the study is part of, I would have to say it's the reason I get out of bed in the morning. I'm a social psychologist, and I'm currently just about finished with my PhD. So the study that I've been doing is my dissertation. We've collected all the data, and now we're analyzing it. So it's not done, but it's almost done, and I'm hoping that pretty soon I can throw a big party for the results. What the study was is it's basically a study of women who work independently as escorts and use the Internet to get in touch with their clients, because there's been so much research on street-based sex workers, who I respect a great deal, but we've certainly done a lot of work on them, and a lot of it hasn't been very enlightened or very empowering either. So I kind of wanted to do almost the opposite kind of study, and nobody had done work on independent women. And most of the stereotypes that people have about women in the sex industry kind of revolve around women being exploited by this third party that's controlling them, like a pimp or, you know, even a madam or an agency that takes their money. So I wanted to look at the women who actually weren't doing that and were totally, you know, keeping all their own profits and setting their own, you know, working conditions.
I think it's, yeah, I'm really anxious for your study to come out because, you know, all you ever see in the media and you know, we hear it here on XBN a lot, you know, people always quote, you know, one study
yeah.
from a researcher in San Francisco and...
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Melissa Farley, I'm sure.
The one and the only.
The one and the only, yeah. Yeah, essentially, yeah. And the thing is that people... do something because people always, or not always, I shouldn't say, people often want to frame women's experiences in sex work as that of being completely victimhood. And so there's a reason why that particular individual's research is so often cited. It's because it fits neatly within people's preset frames for what sex work means for women. And, of course, they're completely ignoring that guys are in sex work for the most part. So, yeah, I really wanted to do a study that would exactly go in the other direction, which isn't to say that the women in my study didn't have troubles or problems. I would never say that. But it was not a study that came from a perspective that sex work is inherently exploitation or inherently negative. It certainly can be, but I would say that that would ignore a lot of women's experiences to say that that's all it could be.
Well, you know, I've always kind of questioned Farley's studies because, you know, she's got, like, the average age of entry, you know, and it seems like every year it goes down. I think it's down to 13 now, and, you know, it goes down like gas prices go up, I guess. But
yeah, I would certainly question her methods. One thing to keep in mind is that her studies are usually based on street-based populations and, you know, people who are on the street, whether it's men or women or, you know, transgender folks, they tend to be on the street, you know, because of a whole host of negative things that can be happening in their lives, such as, you know, abuse at home or mental illness or, you know, a drug problem. And when you're homeless, and you're trying to take care of yourself, sex work is one way to do that. But it certainly would be inappropriate to make a lot of generalizations about that group of people and then take it out and generalize it to all sex workers. And I would even argue that it's disrespectful to people who are working on the street as well, because it sort of removes their own agency from the process.
You know, having read her study, you know, I've kind of always felt like it was disingenuous to both sides, really, because
yeah.
You know, it kind of skews, you know, any sex worker as you know, inherently a victim of rape, and
yeah.
And you know, that the sex worker that is a victim of rape really deserves the respect and the support that comes or that should come for any rape victim,
yeah,
and not be attached to someone who wasn't.
Yeah. I would agree with you 100%. I mean, one of the issues that I have with her work is that it only asks about rape or abuse. You're kind of locked into a certain set of responses in her studies. There's no option to tell any other story. Aside from, you know, how you were raped or exploited or abused, which, you know, unfortunately is a reality for many people, especially when they are living on the street. But you're literally forced to just tell those kinds of stories. You don't have any other options, according to her study protocol. And in the research that I did, I asked people about good things and bad things. They completely had free rein to tell me about both kinds of experiences, and most human beings do have both good and bad experiences no matter what their job is.
And you brought up a really good point, you know, that no matter what your job is, I think there are going to be, you know, good experiences, there are going to be bad experiences, there are going to be, you know, I mean, bad things happen in quote-unquote straight jobs. And
Yeah. I think the real unfortunate difference for a lot of people who are working in sex work is that, you know, if you had a different kind of job, like, for example, if you taught school and you were, you know, like an elementary school teacher and you had a horrible day and you were really stressed out or you were feeling burned out or some kid went crazy on you or a parent yelled at you, you could tell somebody about that experience. You could call a friend or a family member and say, oh, I just had the crappiest day at work. And they would probably listen to you and go, oh, wow, that sounds hard, you know. But a lot of people who are involved in the sex industry are really afraid to talk about their involvement in the sex industry because of the kind of judgment that they're going to face from people. And so they don't get that kind of support. So their bad day at work, you know, really in some ways I think is a lot harder unless they're one of the, you know, more unusual folks who feel comfortable talking to people about being a sex worker, which unfortunately in my study I thought I would find a lot more of those people, but there were, I would say the majority of the people in my study weren't telling most people that they were escorts. Some did, but many or most were pretty secretive about it, and for good reason. They had good reasons to make that choice. But it can be very isolating.
Well, you know, I mean, as long as it's illegal,
yeah.
You know, for all the people who want to keep it illegal and think that's the answer, you know, I mean, it's not the answer. And you know, I mean, for you know, the mother that risks losing her child while trying to feed her child doing sex work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the I mean, I can't think of it. Shannon Williams, the teacher back, I think, in 2004, who lost her job because it was found out that she was a sex worker.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. It happens all the time. There was a recent case with a University of New Mexico professor you might have heard about who faced a lot of heat in her department. As far as I know, she's still working there and everything, but she was attacked by another faculty member because of her involvement working, you know, after hours as a phone domination mistress. And yeah, people are often, I mean, there's very real legal consequences, because of your, you know, people's involvement in sex work. But even aside from, you know, the concern that you could get arrested or have your kids taken away from you, it goes way beyond that too. I mean, people are afraid to tell even their best friend or, you know, their intimate partner, about what they do because of the kind of judgment that they expect to face from those folks. And one of the saddest things about that is actually if you never tell anybody that you're working, you kind of don't get the opportunity to find out if that person might actually be supportive.
Well, Jelaine, we've got about 45 seconds left. What did we not talk about that you'd like to get in 40 seconds or so?
Oh, wow. Well, for folks in the New York area, I hope they'll come out and party with us tomorrow night at Don Pedro's. And if anybody wants to find out more about my research, they're very, very welcome to email me, and I will actually share with them the findings. My email is jkoken@chestnyc.org, and you can also see a little bit of information about the study at our website, chestnyc.org. So I invite folks to come on. We were actually funded with a little pilot money from Hunter College.
Well, Julian, thank you so much for joining us tonight on XBN. I wish you the best in your show. We hope to have you back again soon. This is XXBN.
I'd love to come
Love
back
Durham.
With the results.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm Jill Brenneman. This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill, a service of Swap East Media.